May God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. Happy Pentecost. Today is one of the most important Sundays of the church. In fact, Pentecost and Easter were central to Christian communities for centuries. I mean, Christmas only came around in around the 300s. But it seems in modern times that Pentecost has been lost to many in the church. It's such an important celebration, but the timing being as folks tend to head outdoors for many vacations means that it's lost on many. Not to mention that there aren't a whole lot of Pentecost cards in the Hallmark stores wishing you a windy day of fire dancing on your heads. Sadly, as one pastor put it, to me personally, as religious observances go, Easter rates a 10, Pentecost an 8, and Christmas a 6. I'd agree with that. But the average member of my church would probably say Easter was a 10, Christmas an 8, and Pentecost a 3. But you may have noticed over the years that I love this day. Probably something about the fact that I was dancing up and down the aisle to Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire my first Pentecost year gave that away. And I promise you I will not do that again this year. I want to share with you, though, why I love Pentecost. Now, before we get to all that, though, I want to tell you what happened while I was working on this sermon. I'd done all my research, but I hadn't written a word. I was having this sort of writer's block. Anybody ever have that? You know, you just can't figure out what you're going to do. And it was now Saturday and late morning. I was hungry. So I hadn't had any breakfast, and it was already about 10:30 in the morning, so off to the local deli I went, so you can see just how much I actually cook in my house. And most of you know I live out in Sussex County. That's a rural part of our great state of New Jersey. It's near the Pennsylvania border. And out that way, you see all kinds of wildlife. Pheasants and fox and bears. Rhonda, right? Is Rhonda here? Bears and goats and cows. You name it. Snakes. And crossing the roads a lot in both directions at this time of year are turtles. And in fact, one time I was actually coming to work at the church. I had a collar on. I'm driving down Route 206, which is, you know, a busy kind of two-lane street there, and there was a big snapping turtle. You ever seen those? They're enormous, and they're also very dangerous. They're big fellas. And so I stopped traffic, you know, and I'm like, wait, and we're trying to get to coax this turtle across the street, which is not easy because, you know, this turtle was getting scared and hunkered down in the shell, and I'm not going to touch him. I like my fingers just the way they are. So anyway, yesterday, as I was heading toward the main road near the entrance of my neighborhood, I spotted a small turtle, about this big, near the side of the road. So I pulled over, as I do, and I stopped to pick him up to move him to safer territory. But when I got to him, I saw that this little guy was hurt. Somebody had clipped him, and a piece of his bottom shell was missing. I could see his body, and he was bleeding a bit. And so I picked him up, and I put him in my truck, and I raced down to the local vet. And they looked at him and placed him in a box for me and then sent me to the local turtle rescue in Hardwick, about 7 miles down the road. And I took him there, and they're going to care for him. And it turns out he's an adult male painted turtle. I pray he'll be okay. Now, I named my new reptilian friend Penty. Partly because he was found on the eve of Pentecost. Yes, I'm a church geek. That's what you get in a priest. Partly because painted turtles live in and around water, and today we will celebrate Oscar Roosevelt Sweet receiving the sacrament of baptism today in this church. And water is the outward and visible sign of this inward and spiritual grace. But mostly because the whole time, I wished I could speak to Penty, to tell him it was going to be okay, to ease this little fella's fear. But sadly, I am not the turtle whisperer. Now, Every pet owner in the world, I think, has the same wish from time to time, to be able to communicate with our animal companions, right? Right? Y'all ever wish that every now and then? You want to be, what was it, Dr. Doolittle? Of course, sometimes I know I don't want to hear what my cat Bogart is saying to me, but that's a whole other story. Cats are difficult. But the miracle of Pentecost isn't about speaking, but about listening, or really about both. On the day of Pentecost, the apostles, being the good Jewish men and women that they were gathered in Jerusalem. Jews from all over the world gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the Festival of Weeks and the giving of the law, one of three times that they were required to make pilgrimage and gather. The other two were Pentecost, and still are, and the ingathering of the harvest. And Jesus had departed, remember, the ascension has happened, telling them that the Spirit of truth would be with them always. But what would that look like? What did that mean? In that house in Jerusalem, they found out. A rush of wind and tongues of fire rested on each of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, speech that was unfamiliar to them. It was all so strange that when they began speaking to the crowds that had gathered outside of the house in response to all the noise and fuss, folks thought they were drunk. Now that led to perhaps one of the funniest lines in all of Scripture, as Peter says to them, "Listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning." Apparently Peter never visited New York City, the city that never sleeps. Now, how many of us have ever wanted to learn a new language, or have, right? It's you know, I love learning new languages, but unfortunately they fade because I don't use them regularly and I have sort of a mind like a steel sieve. But when we do learn them, say for a trip, it isn't just that we can ask something like, "Voice de dama toileta," or "Quanto costa questo?" You know, "Where's the ladies' room?" Always the first thing I learn in a new language. Where's the ladies' room? And how much is this? It's also, I think, we learn these languages so that we can understand what's being said to us, right? That's part of it too. And the miracle wasn't that they could speak a new language, or at least it wasn't the entire miracle. It was that they could now listen to ones who spoke differently than they did. This is a story that is as much about listening as about speaking. Now, at my seminary, Drew University, there's a quote that hangs on the wall. It was by the feminist theologian and former professor Nell Morton. And it was this: "We empower one another by hearing the other to speech. We empower one another by hearing the other to speech." That's what God is doing on Pentecost and what God is doing right now. God empowers us by hearing us into speech so that we can then in turn hear others in the same way. Or as another commentator noted, Pentecost isn't about speaking incomprehensible languages. Pentecost is about hearing incomprehensible languages. When we can hear and understand new amazing things, we can hear and understand new amazing things if we know where to listen. We will be amazed if we widen our antenna range. The importance of this empowering listening and speaking is the gift of Pentecost. And it can be profoundly life-giving for ourselves and for the world around us, because people yearn to be heard. Maybe some of you. And also they yearn for us to speak the love of Christ. There's a story from Africa, it's a Swahili story, that tells of a chief who has a wife and children who aren't thriving. They're sad and listless and unhappy. And he sees a poor man with a wife and children who are plump and happy and always smiling. So the chief asks the poor man what he must do to help his wife and children thrive. And the poor man tells him, "Feed them the meat of the tongue." So the chief has his cook prepare the tongue meat of every animal in the marketplace for his wife and children to eat, but to no avail. When this fails, the chief is angry, and he goes down and returns to the poor man and demands that they trade wives and children. Yeah, that's going to work. So the poor man obliges. He is the chief. However, the chief's new wife and children begin to grow thin and unhappy, while the poor man's new wife and children thrive. Finally, the chief confronts his now thriving former family and demands that they return to him. They refuse. And the chief learns that the tongue meat is the manner in which the poor man listens to his family, listens to how they feel and what they think, and to the way he speaks to his family with kindness and compassion, telling them stories that are wondrous and funny, loving them with his words. That's why they're thriving. They are heard and they are loved. The chief learns he must change the ways in which he relates to his family if he wants them to thrive. The gift of Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is to listen before we speak, to hear the story of the one we are meeting eye to eye before we tell them ours, to empower them by listening them into speech, not ours, not our speech, but their speech that is uniquely their own. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit that we celebrate at Pentecost. But the Spirit is not a one-time thing. We cannot confine her to that moment with the disciples any more than imagine that it was the first time the Spirit was present in creation. Everywhere the Holy Spirit is at work. Even in the Bible, the Holy Spirit wasn't limited to this story in Acts, right? But was there at the beginning of creation. God breathed the Spirit upon all the earth and throughout our faith story. And the Holy Spirit is at work here, right here. Right here, right now at Christ Church and all around us too. The Spirit is calling us to speech, calling us to listen, calling us to actions, actions that speak of what we believe, actions that lead us to new ways of being, new ways of loving in this broken world. We will baptize Oscar, and as is our tradition, we will all process with him and his family to gather around the fonts as a family. As a faith family. And when we do that, we go singing, Veni Sancte Spiritus, come Holy Spirit. Because in baptism, Oscar will be sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. The same Holy Spirit at work from the beginning of time, the same Holy Spirit that descended upon the disciples during the festival in Jerusalem, the same Holy Spirit that continued to be at work in the world through the centuries, that Holy Spirit will be with us. With Oscar, now, and always. And over the years, Oscar and all the other children here will grow in this place where they are nurtured and taught that they are beloved children of God just for being who they are. But just as important, we will empower them. We will listen them into speech, their speech, that they can be all that God intends for them in their life. That's the commitment all of us make to all who are baptized here. And it's a commitment we make to one another too. Imagine that. Just for a moment, imagine a world where we are heard. Yeah? But where we listen too. To those who are very different than us. Lord knows that in this time of deepening divide in our country and all around the world where people tend to yell over top of one another or go to a weapon before stopping to listen, we need this gift of Pentecost now more than ever. And it's there for us. It is, and the world waits in hope that we open ourselves up to it. And that's why I called this little turtle I found Penty. Penty is a reminder of the way in which the Holy Spirit seems to work in the world, unexpectedly leading us new places, new people, new life out of brokenness, and leading us to a longing to be heard and to be able to listen into healing. Now, I did call the turtle rescue later yesterday, and there is good news and bad news. The bad news is that Penty has a fracture. I'm just imagining little crutches. The good news is that the layer between the shell and the body, something the turtle rescue person called the coelom, I think, was not punctured. I think that was the part I could see peeking out from the shell break, which was about an inch long. Anyway, Harriet said that the important thing for a wild animal is to reduce their stress levels, and it's now a wait-and-see sort of thing. We won't know for another 24 hours if Penty will survive. Harriet said that if they do die from their injuries, it's usually within the first 48 hours. But whether he lives or dies, Penty is a Pentecost story. He's a symbol of a world in much pain, of so many in need of healing, love, needing to be seen and not passed by, needing the healing tongues of loving words and empowering ears and the gift of healing touch. As we gather here at our festival, the Feast of Pentecost, let us commit to opening ourselves to the Holy Spirit alive in the world today, alive here, now, in this place, and to joining her in the world, listening to those who speak differently, speech that is not only words, but how they think, and how they live, and how they love. Let us empower them to speech by meeting them where they are in theirs, empowering them to speak not as we speak, but as they are uniquely called to do. Let us empower them to live as well, not as we want them to live, but as God created them to live. And let us also be heard ourselves by those around us, speaking our own joy and pain, but also speaking of the love that Christ showed us, and living that out, looking for the ones by the side of the road that go unnoticed, and loving them into new life through God's grace. Amen.